Welcome back to the Plotopsy Podcast, here at Misanthropy Movie Blog. With each episode of the Plotopsy, I take apart a movie that is generally accepted to be a failure, and try to determine just what circumstances and actions led to its demise. Today's feature is best known as the Swan Song of Sean Connery, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. LXG is a loose adaptation of a comic series by Kevin O'Neill and Alan Moore, the latter of whom you might recognize as the guy behind The Watchmen and V for Vendetta. A number of changes were made for the film due to a number of factors, including pressure from a certain Scottish actor, a failure on the part of the production to attain appropriate rights, specifically The Invisible Man is, for legal purposes, merely an Invisible Man. Other notable changes, like the inclusion of characters like Tom Sawyer and Dorian Gray, were made for unclear reasons. The film's screenplay was written by a guy named James Robinson, whose other minimal credits include the DC animated feature Son of Batman. The film was directed by Stephen Norrington, whose directing career was brought to a halt as a result. His only other major directorial work at the time was Blade, one of the first modern comic book film adaptations. He previously worked in special effects on movies like Aliens and Alien 3. However, the production process of LXG apparently burned him out entirely on the concept of directing. Not just because of the poor reception from fans and critics, but because of the difficulty of working with the producers, the studio, and large acting personalities like Sean Connery. To this date, his self-imposed exile from the director's chair still stands. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen cinematographer Dan Lotston has worked on a number of other notable productions, mostly in the horror genre. These include Guillermo del Toro's Mimic, both iterations of the movie Night Watch, and the film adaptation of the video game Silent Hill. The cast of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is highlighted, obviously, by the last hurrah of Sean Connery, who plays the famous fictional adventurer Alan Quatermain. The rest of the cast includes Richard Roxburgh as Moriarty, Jason Fleming as Dr. Jekyll, Tony Curran as an Invisible Man, Shane West as Tom Sawyer, and a host of other minor actors playing various literary characters. Much has been made of Sean Connery's role in LXG. It is said that he only took it because he regretted passing on two other major roles, Gandalf in Lord of the Rings and Morpheus in The Matrix, and didn't want to miss out on another potential franchise. Sean Connery is also reported to have been somewhat of an intimidating presence on set, making other actors uneasy, and was a general nightmare for the director, Stephen Norrington. He also went so far as to demand major script changes to make his character more likable. One of my favorite B-movie writer-directors, Larry Cohen, was involved in a lawsuit against the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen production, claiming that the film plagiarized a script that he and Martin Pohl pitched to 20th Century Fox called Cast of Characters, which included a number of figures that wound up in the film but were not present in Alan Moore's source material. The matter was ultimately settled out of court. Both creators of the source material, Alan Moore and illustrator Kevin O'Neill, were incredibly unhappy with the final product of LXG and weren't afraid to let the public know. Moore is quoted as once saying on the topic of film adaptations, "I have a dwindling respect for cinema as it is currently expressed." On the specific topic of the experience of the lawsuit against LXG, he was a little more colorful. After giving a 10-hour deposition, he said that he believed he'd have suffered less if he'd sodomized and murdered a busload of children after giving them heroin. A very similar movie to LXG was released a few months later in 2005, Van Helsing, starring Hugh Jackman. This movie also relied on a cast of recognizable and previously established characters from classic literature and film. Both movies even feature the same actor, Richard Roxburgh, as the central villain, and both have representations of the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde character. Much like LXG, Van Helsing was poorly received, and is now regarded as a failure. However, it isn't quite as well remembered as LXG, likely due to its lack of fallout. Over the past couple of years, rumors have spread about the potential for another film adaptation of LXG, or even an attempt to bring the story to television. However, nothing is solidified as of yet. The profitability of comic book adaptations, coupled with the popularity of the works of Alan Moore, seem to indicate that it is only a matter of time before someone takes another stab at reassembling the League. LXG was absolutely stomped by critics upon release, and the audience reaction wasn't much better. The film currently holds a 17% critic score and a 44% audience score on the Rotten Tomatoes aggregator. Financially, the movie made a reported $179 million on a budget of $78 million, which is certainly profitable. However, aspirations were clearly much higher for the film. A sequel was reportedly planned that would be based on War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells, but the poor reviews and not good enough box office performance meant that the potential space epic never quite managed to get off the ground. It probably didn't help that the director and star both rage quit the industry as a result of the production either. On to the plotopsy of the film. Why did the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen fail to resonate with audiences? First off, it is worth noting again that LXG wasn't a financial failure, though it underwhelmed expectations, particularly in the domestic market. As a blockbuster, making back the production budget is enough to defy being labeled a total catastrophe, if you ask me. LXG is hardly alone on this, though. A number of other comic book adaptations have made big business over the years, but are regarded as failures in the public consciousness, like Spider-Man 3 and X-Men: The Last Stand. That just goes to show that there is more to success and failure than the bottom line. Personally, I think the reason LXG is remembered as a failure stems from the negative reaction from two key groups, critics and fans of the source material. On their own, a negative reaction from critics or fans isn't usually enough to sink a blockbuster. Together, however, they seem to have a powerful influence on how a movie is remembered and becomes cemented in the zeitgeist. Something that both fans and critics seem to agree on was the miscasting of Sean Connery for the film's lead. In retrospect, we now know that his behavior on set created significant tensions behind the scenes, but that wasn't the extent of his effect on the movie. His high price tag likely threw a wrench into the casting of a movie that really should have been an ensemble piece. After all, it is a movie about a super team, but the focus inevitably sits on the only recognizable star in the cast. Related to this, Connery wasn't a powerful cinematic force anymore in the early 2000s. In the years leading up to LXG, Connery had primarily filled in supporting roles in movies like Finding Forrester, The Avengers, and Entrapment, and it was hard to argue that he was much of an action star anymore, and was hardly a blockbuster draw. While this does arguably fit the character of Quatermain in LXG, there were probably more fit and capable character actors who could have filled in the role admirably, while saving the production a pretty penny on casting. It is also clear that Connery didn't completely understand his role or the source material, and mostly took the job out of desperation and frustration. As if all of that wasn't enough, a number of the story changes that most graded fans of the source material were mandated by Connery himself, such as Quatermain's alcoholism and other vices being removed. All in all, LXG without Connery would almost certainly have resulted in a better regarded film. Outside of Connery, I think the biggest issue with LXG is the screenplay. From what I could gather, the formation of the final draft of the screenplay was a bit convoluted. The fact that the credited writer has very few credits to his name sends up a red flag to me, and the apparent influence Connery was able to have on it leads me to believe that the screenplay was probably patched together and essentially written by committee. My supposition is that James Robinson created some sort of first draft based on the Moore comics, got paid, and was pushed out the door. At that point, the producers, director, and any number of other entities made modifications beyond recognition, which is a not uncommon occurrence with this kind of project. The result of all of that hacking and stitching is an incredibly flimsy adaptation with thin characters and a barely recognizable meandering plot. which was destined to bore critics and enrage fans of the source material. It is worth saying that there are more problems with LXG than just the shoddy screenplay and the presence of Sean Connery, but it is hard to argue that any of the other elements were quite so impactful on the film's ultimate reception. Some of the effects have certainly dated poorly, but the more practical makeup work still looks pretty solid. Likewise, the production design of the movie is actually pretty cool, and I'm a big fan of how the Nautilus looks and feels in the film. On the whole, I think LXG is a watchable popcorn movie, but is certainly a long way from being good. Outside of trivial interest, there isn't much reason to recommend watching it. It exists in a wide no-man's land of mediocrity where many Hollywood films find themselves. Outside of the notoriety of the source material and the film's career-ending fallout, LXG might have been forgotten entirely. As it stands, it is in the public consciousness as one of the most notorious film failures of the 2000s. That's all for this episode of the Plotopsy Podcast. Be sure to check out more episodes in the full post archives over at misentropy.com.